Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome to Redemption Report. This week, I have the wife of last week's guest, Brian. His wife, Ani, is joining us today on the podcast. Now, I did experience some technical difficulties, so that's why it may look a little bit different if you're watching the video version or may notice a little differences, but the story is all there. I was able to capture her story, and so I wanted to make sure that we shared it and didn't waste her time and having to bring her back in to re-record or have it be a second time. So I just wanted to give you an update on why it may look a little different, but we'll go ahead and jump into the conversation right here. And thank you for joining us on Redemption Report. Well, Ani, welcome to the podcast. It's so good to have you on. I know we got a chance to interview your husband, Brian, last week. So we know that you're married, but what else can you tell us about yourself?
Brian and I have been married for, it'll be 11 years in May. We've got two kids, our son Colton, who is turning 8, and our daughter Emma, who's turning 5, both very adventurous.
Yeah, they're both competing with who's going to have the most broken bones, it sounds like.
Well, Emma's winning right now. She's on her third. This is her third cast, her second time breaking her right arm. So
I heard the trampoline is on its way out the door.
Hopefully. But it's not just the trampoline. She's just clumsy. Okay. And she tries to keep up with her brother. So yeah. She keeps me on my toes. And it's every day is an adventure. Mm-hmm. But I'm also working full time. I'm in the social work. I work with families who are at risk of losing custody of their kids or regaining custody of their kids right now. So it's not the easiest job, but it's one that I am passionate about, meeting families where they are.
Yeah, that's definitely needed work in our world today. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it for over a year now, with this nonprofit called KBC. We work alongside the cabinet. They refer families to us, and so we go into the homes, and my title is family care coordinator. So, yeah.
So did you grow up in this area? I know your husband in the last episode said that he grew up in the Cincinnati area, but where did you grow up? Did you grow up in this area?
No, not at all. I haven't stayed in one place longer than 5 years. I was born in the same hospital as Brian, actually. Our parents were very good friends. Our dads taught in the same Christian school together. They coached soccer together. It's funny because his parents actually have known me longer than they've actually known Brian. Okay. So we always kind of joke about that. But we stayed in Florida for about 3 years after I was born. My middle sister was born there as well. And then my parents were called to the mission field. So we were on deputation for 2 years. We lived out of the car, basically going church to church. And my youngest sister was born on deputation in Colorado. And soon after, we went to Mexico. And we were in Monterey for almost 6 years. I went to school there from kindergarten to about fourth grade. And then my dad was called to be a pastor in Pennsylvania. So we lived in Pennsylvania for a time.
A little different than Mexico.
just a little. Talk about culture shock.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that was a little hard of a transition, because I was going into like middle school about that age, and it was not easy. And I actually kept telling my dad, I'm being called back to Mexico. I don't know about you, but I know I'm supposed to go back to Mexico.
And you were how old at this point?
I was almost 16.
Okay.
And my dad was like, no, I think we're staying here. We're setting down roots. And it didn't feel like home to me. And I kept saying that. So going into my junior year, my dad said, you're right, we're being called back to the mission field.
So you prompted that, or God used you to reveal that a little bit?
Maybe just a little bit. And so we went back to Mexico. We were in a different part of Mexico this time. We were in Saltillo, working there. We had a big camp and convention center that we were working on, and some stuff came to light about the people who we were working under, and we left the mission field. And it wasn't on very good terms. It's still something that is difficult to talk about.
Yeah, it's painful, yeah.
And I went to college, Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, for a year. And then went to Dallas Baptist University for a semester. And I was just, I wasn't settled. I was very, I knew that's not where God wanted me to be. I was in a bad relationship, and it's just, I was uncomfortable, and I knew I was not doing what God wanted. So I kind of stopped, and I dropped out of college for a year and a half and went back to Mexico with my dad, who is now working under a different organization. And he started these camps called OSY camps, out of school youth. And I was able to help him develop those, train the staff, and develop the whole entire program and all of that. And it was life-changing. And soon after that, Brian came into the picture again, pursuing me quite a bit, and I made him work for it. I didn't say yes right away to anything.
Yeah, I've heard a little of that story before. It sounds like he definitely earned it.
He did. He did. But I wanted to make sure it was what God wanted, so I wasn't going to make it easy. And that's when I started to feel a little bit more settled in who I was and who God wanted me to be. And I had been praying about moving up to Kentucky to be closer to Brian, because we'd been dating long distance for over a year and a half at this point. And I was scared to bring it up to my dad, because I was like, my dad's not going to let me move to a whole nother country for a guy. And luckily, God paved the way for me. And my dad was the one who actually brought up the idea to move up to Kentucky and finish my degree and be able to be closer to Brian. He said, if you're going to move up there, you have 3 months to find a job, find a place to live, because you're not going to live in Brian's house, and find a way to support yourself and get enrolled in school. I took that as a challenge, and I was able to do it in less than 3 weeks. Okay. So I was like, all right, this is what God wants. And the rest is really history. Yeah. We've been together ever since. And
so hopefully it sounds like you've been here close to 5 years, and that's been kind of the length of time you've been in any given place. So sounds like you're about to break that record.
I hope so. I think this is where God wants us to be right now. I think he knows my heart, and especially with a young family,
sure,
we want to be able to put down roots and grow them where they are right now. And
yeah,
eventually I'd like to take them to see the world and visit family who are in other countries and all of that. But
any future moves would have to be somewhere with softer soil, so if anyone falls.
Gosh, yes, please.
So going back, sounds like you grew up in a Christian home. What do you remember about the first time hearing about the name of Jesus? Do you remember it, or was it before you remember?
It was before I could remember, but my parents never forced it on us. They led by example a lot of the times, which was really nice. I remember hearing my dad talk about asking Christ into your heart and giving your life over to him and all of that. But I never really asked a lot of questions. Not until I was almost 8. And we were in Mexico, and I'd seen people talking about the change and seeing the joy that it brought them and how it changed their lives and all of that. And mind you, at the time, I didn't speak Spanish. I was still learning. And so I didn't understand everything that was being said. So one day I asked my dad, I said, what do you mean by asking God into your heart? Like, that just sounds weird. And he sat down with me. I remember sitting on his bed with him. And he took me through Romans Road and explained what it meant to ask Christ into your heart and to admit that you're a sinner and all of that. And he asked me, he said, is that something that you'd like to do? I said, yes, please. And so I was able to pray the prayer with my dad. And once I understood, it was like, okay, this is what needs to happen. All right. I want to be baptized now too. And so my dad was able to baptize me 2 weeks later, after he made sure that I understood what it meant. And it was just a whirlwind after.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. I'm glad you're able to remember so many details about that experience. Obviously it's very vivid in your life. For those that don't know what the Romans Road is, basically it's a collection of verses from the book of Romans in Scripture, and it often starts in Romans 3:23 that establishes that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it takes different verses throughout the book to point to man's need of salvation and then how through faith in Jesus they can have forgiveness of their sin and peace with God. And so if you highlight those specific verses, it's almost like a journey or a road through Romans to find new life in Christ. So from that point on, did you notice any changes or anything different in your life as a result? I realize you're only 8 years old, but did you have anything change in your life?
Well, I mean, living on the mission field, you kind of almost get a reality check. And I saw firsthand spiritual warfare, and seeing it in another country, here in the States, we're kind of blind to it, where the spiritual warfare is very different. So to me, it was obvious after accepting Christ, seeing that battle happen. And so I've always had a very good relationship with God, one that it's hard to explain, because he truly is like my friend. I talk to him like I talk to my husband. I will tell him, like, God, come on, why is this so hard today? Or if I am really struggling, I'll ask him to send me little reminders. Like, God, I need to feel you today. I need to be reminded that you are walking beside me, and that kind of thing. And he does. It's little things that don't mean anything to anybody else. But to me, it's like, okay, that was just from God, just for me. I've always felt him close by, and when I haven't, I've been able to say, God, like, I need to feel you right now. I need to know that you still have me in your hand and that you're not letting me go, that I'm not by myself, that sort of thing.
Yeah, him making himself known even in the small things. And I think it's something that as longer you walk with God, the more you're able to see him for those moments. I remember when I had first moved to Kentucky, I didn't have any friends or family in the area, and I really didn't even have a job. I was renting a bedroom from someone, and just life was really, really difficult. And I know when I've told the story to other people, they're like, that really meant a lot to you, but it really did. But growing up in Colorado, there were not a lot of birds that we had. You know, you had your magpies, you had robins and seagulls. Those were the primary three. There's other birds, but those were basically the main ones that we see out there. And so coming out here to Kentucky, I remember specifically one day in particular being very discouraged and just asking God, what what's going on? Like, why am I even here? And just really calling out to God, being, you know, even in tears throughout the day. And I remember there was this cardinal that flew up like right next to my window where I was at, and it just hung out there. And I got to go up close to the window and view how vividly red the feathers were, and just be able to take that in. It's something that I've not really been able to see in nature that much before, definitely not in person to that point in my life. And from time to time, I think back to that and it, just think about how beautiful it was. And I don't believe the bird was God. I don't believe that he appeared to me in that way. But I do think that he sent that bird to be able to remind me that, hey, I got you. It was a tangible expression to direct me to him. And I just thank God so much for that, giving me that gift in that time. And for me, it was something that helped refocus my gaze on him. So I imagine you've experienced things similar to that, where it's like, it may not make sense to anyone else, but it was God. And, you know, it was his love note to you, communicating his kindness. With that, what are some of the joys you've experienced since following Christ, where if you didn't know Christ, you would not have experienced it because not knowing him, but because you do know him, you were able to experience a particular sense of joy as a result?
I think with joy, it's always followed by a trial. And one of the biggest trials I think I've personally had to go through was losing my mom. I lost my mom June 11th of 2018. And she had been battling cancer for a while. And we thought she was cancer-free. At least she was for about a year. And then it came back with a vengeance. And we only had a couple months with her before she was gone. At the time, right before my mom was diagnosed with cancer for the first time, we found out we were pregnant with Colton. And I think God knew she was meant to be a grandma, or momo is what we called her. It's Norwegian for grandmother. And my son, I think, helped her through that battle, gave her that strength and the courage to go through chemo and radiation and come out on the other end. And she was able to spend almost 2 years with him. And at the time, we weren't sure why we were in Texas, but I think looking back now, God moved us when he did so that we could spend that extra time with mom. And after my mom passed away, I struggled. I questioned God and who he was and what his plan was. But soon after, we found out we were pregnant with Emma. And it was not an easy pregnancy. I was battling some depression and anxiety and all of that. So it wasn't an easy pregnancy. And luckily, Brian was so supportive and so understanding. And I couldn't have gotten through it without him. But Emma came. Her due date was actually July 3rd. She was born on June 12th of 2019. Almost a year to my mom's death anniversary. And when she came out, she, if you look closely, she has a little birthmark on the side of her head. And they always said, oh, it'll disappear. Or they said it was a port wine stain, but it didn't have any of the same classifications. And so finally we were told, oh, it's an angel's kiss. And that's the type of birthmark she has. And she says it was because Momo kissed her before she came. And she's just, and Emma actually means to make whole. She helped make our family whole again. And it's tough every year, but being able to see Emma and the joy that she brings everybody, crazy, adventurous, sassy little girl that she is, I think God knew we needed her, and he designed her specifically to help get me through that time and to get our whole family through it, in all honesty. So she's my little miracle baby. She's what I needed.
Wow, that's so gracious of God to give that to you. And thank you for taking the time to share that. You know, it's definitely a difficult and emotional story, but I think it definitely illustrates clearly God's kindness and how he cares about us as individuals. It's not like we're just numbers on a board or just random people out there, but he uniquely and specifically cares for us. And you can see that when you're going through a difficult time. If you don't have Christ, you may look at the circumstances and be confused or just chalk it up to unfortunate events. But when you do have Christ, it just becomes more beautiful because you can see him working through it. And you don't just see the burden, but you can see how he is working it all together for our good, which is just really beautiful. I know we joked about the broken bones earlier, and your daughter has a broken appendage right now. But even a week ago, when I saw her at church, she was running around the church with a huge grin on her face. And I was thinking, man, your arm must just be throbbing right now. But she just had a huge grin on her face, bringing joy to those around her. And that joy definitely comes through her and it is extended to others.
That's Emma.
Well, someone hearing your story, what would be something you'd want them to take away? What would be the big thing that you want to leave them with?
One of the biggest things that I think I've learned and God continues to teach me is be honest with him. He gave us emotions for a reason. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be upset and sad and depressed, but take it to him. Lay it at his feet. Let him know. He already knows what you're thinking and feeling. So why not just have that conversation with him and ask for that peace, for that reminder and that joy back, especially with everything that's going on in the world today. It's okay to not have it all together. Christ already does. So why not just let him fix it for you?
We often try to shield our loved ones or our kids from so much, but like to your point, what are we trying to shield God from? Like it's really something that he can't handle, something we need to protect God from. Like, why are we not just allowing him to be God? Here, let me hold these things back from you. So I love that. So I love how it's not just allowed, but encouraged. In 1 Peter, it says that you are supposed to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And I like that imagery that's casting. You know, Peter, who wrote the book, was a fisherman, and he had to throw out the nets. He didn't just drop the nets. He had to throw them out into the water. You have to spread them out, and it takes effort to propel them and hurl them out. I think that's probably along the lines of what he was thinking when he wrote that. And so it just with all your energy and effort, just cast your cares out there. Well, why do we cast them out there? Well, because he cares for us, and he loves us. Thank you for taking the time to share your story and share those details that allow others to see the hope that's within you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
What a wonderful account of God's consistent presence throughout the life of a child of God. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, that I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of Truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Ani's story recounted several examples of receiving comfort from God through his Spirit. Every believer in Christ receives access to the Holy Spirit, who provides comfort, counsel, and wisdom, just to name a few. You too can obtain access to God's Spirit by entering relationship with him if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Feel free to reach out to me if you'd like to do that. My contact information can be found at tewareproductions.com. This concludes episode 20 of Redemption Report. Be sure to hit the like button, and we'll see you next time.